In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
As we sing that song, open your mouth and bless him. In your own words, and let your worship flow like a river. Unrestrained worship. Open your mouth, lift your voice, and let it flow out of your belly. Bless him in the spirit. Bless him in your own words. Bless him in other tongues. Shera bahara telemoko subraha dele meketa. Vele ke si la mahatala garate sopronde reketele mahasia. Rokombe de hesina mahagarades. Open your mouth and adore him. Open your mouth and make him welcome with your worship. Lift your voice and give him praise. Alabakasite lemoko sinama.
I want us to pray two prayers before we sit down. You know, we come into the presence of God and there are many needs that God has to address. And I feel that these two prayers, as the Lord laid on my heart, is for certain people here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Let's start from verse 3. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Then verse 4 tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. The Bible says that the warfare that happens in your mind, you are the one that will take authority against those thoughts. You cast them down. And the Lord told me today that there are many of you that have been attacked with negative thoughts in your mind. You see negative pictures about your future, about your expectations. Those are attacks from the pit of hell. It's not just you imagining things. There's a spirit putting those pictures into your mind, forcing it to become your reality when that is not what God has said. But we are going to throw it down this afternoon. Are you ready to pray at all? It's not me that is suffering it, or it's you that is suffering. Are you ready to pray? Listen, some people, and you will not believe this, but this is the truth. There are some of you who sometimes you will just begin to feel like this person is not happy with me. This person has this against me. Have you felt like that before? And maybe you greet the person and the person does not respond in a way. Most times it's not true. You are wrestling in your mind. There are evil thoughts there. And we know how to do many things as believers, but we have not known how to take authority against those thoughts. It's a casting down imaginations and bringing under subjection. So you will tell those thoughts in the name of Jesus, every negative thought, every negative vision, every negative imagination, every negative picture forcing its way to my mind to become my reality, I cast you down by the power in the name of Jesus. Pray like you know you mean it. Most times the people that need the prayer more are not the ones praying. Most times the people that need the prayer more are not the ones praying. Open your mouth and confront those forces. Confront those forces. Stage a warfare. Every thought from hell, every arrow shot to your mind, appearing like negative pictures, showing you what God has not destined concerning you. Open your mouth and cast it down. Open your mouth and cast it down. Open your mouth and resist those thoughts. Resist them. Resist them. Resist them. I subdue everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in my mind. Every thought of negativity, every wrong imagination, every wrong vision in my mind. Pray, 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 pray. Leko poroko sikrate kekelinae. Lebendo lo koruzia me prende kreto kosuba. Ambre te kolo gorosombre kele libero godosia. Pray. Alia nebosi.
Cast them down, cast them down. Korokomosia. Ole kebaksia makala ranama. Olobosia kete kebaragada. Roko teke bele geribia. Ala kapa roko sia. Command them to be brought down. Pull down those wrong imaginations. Every picture that does not correspond with the word of God for your life, command it to be brought down. Command it to be deleted. In Jesus'
name we pray. How many of you heard the testimony of that our sister? A voice, she heard a voice telling her, you will die, you will die. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, I want to show you something. Maybe I'll find time to teach about it. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, the Bible says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? The serpent could talk. In Hebrew, the word serpent there and the illustration of the speech that was used there, that the serpent was talking to the woman, is for, there's a Hebrew word called nakash. It means the whisperings of a serpent. You know how that noise a snake makes? Huh? Yeah, in Hebrew it means nakash. It means the whisperings of a serpent. Do you know that it's also the same Hebrew word that means enchantment? Many of you have been hearing wrong voices in your head, in your mind. You will die. You will fail that exam. You will this one, you will that one. Listen, anytime a thought comes in your mind, anytime you hear a voice that does not look like the promise of God for you, hello, know that God has not spoken. It's time to resist that voice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if you allow the voice to stay, listen, God created the earth by the energy of sound. And God said, if you allow that voice to remain without resisting it, it will become a reality. Even Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, not the words that I wish to you, not the words that I've written concerning you, the words that I speak to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the reason why we do that I am confession. Sometimes you can be beclouded by the voice of the serpent, and all you see is negativity, all you see is evil. Or there, in fact, there are Christians that right now, if you examine their mind, in fact, from what they say, they cannot make one sentence without making a negative statement. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's what has corrupted the future of many people. Some of you, where you are now, is not really where God wants you to be. Where you are now is because of the voice of the serpent that you did not cast out. You did not rebuke it. Eve listened to the serpent, and the Bible says she saw that the fruit was good. Something that was forbidden all of a sudden became good. Why? Because of the voice of the serpent. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe one day I'll do a teaching on that. That's one of the powerful deceptions that the enemy is using in these last days. I can guarantee you, many of you, the voices talking to you is not God. It's not God at all. When you see that it doesn't correspond, the Bible says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. There are thoughts of peace. Whether the economy is going like this and like that, there are thoughts of peace and not of future, or not of evil, to give you a future. Some translations say an expected end. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's an insurance cover in the kingdom. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. He said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Every evil voice speaking negativity over your life, lift your hands. In the name of Jesus, I command that voice to be silenced. Hey, I command that voice to be silenced. In the name of Jesus Christ. You hear me? I'm still praying for you. Some of you, the voice is telling you that this job interview you just finished, you are going to fail it just like you failed the last one. I curse that voice. I curse that spirit now. In the name of Jesus Christ. When God opens your eyes in the realm of the spirit, you will see that there are some demons that look like birds. You know, birds can make sounds. Mm-hmm. And this is something I've seen. I'm not telling you. I mean, if God opens your eyes in the spirit to see, you'll see. These birds can follow certain people. Either they are perched on their head or they hover around them. And when you check that person's life, constantly they will be under depression or having discouraging or negative thoughts. When was the last time you woke up in the morning and you were just feeling sad? You are under the oppression of that spirit. I'm telling you, this spirit has no respect for who is anointed and who is not anointed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Samson, the spirit of God came on Samson and he used the jawbone of an ass to kill 1,000 men. You would have thought that as anointed, he just finished the feat by the anointing. Yet the same Samson cried out, God, will I die of thirst? That one was not God. It was not the anointing that came on him to kill those 1,000 men. This one was another spirit that was speaking. The Bible says, and the spirit of God left Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord came and troubled him. There are many of you that go through the cycles of depression again and again. You are under serious attack. But God brought you to this service for your liberty and your peace of mind. Lift your hands again. And now in the name of Jesus, I release around your mind and around your heart
the peace of God to surround you right now. The peace that passeth all understanding. It will guard your heart and your mind. In the name of Jesus Christ. Fun fact. Anytime those negative thoughts begin to come, know that there's something good ahead. It's me that's telling you, you don't need to pray again. Once you come on that, some of you, you sleep in the night and those demons will come and hover around you and communicate, release radio waves of wrong thoughts. Even from your dream, you will dream. Ah, that's why it's good to have light. A time will come when, no matter the dream you have, when you wake up, you carry on with your duties. Not because you are underestimating the devil, but because you know that yes, it is given to him to reveal as a spirit, but it's not given to him to bring to pass. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says the heavens of heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given the Son. It is only those who have authority on earth that can bring anything from the realm of the spirit to manifest in the physical. And there are only two people that have that authority, God and you. That means if you see any negative thing happening in the life of a person, somewhere, somehow in the equation, yes, the devil planned it, but the person cooperated and he loaned his authority to the devil to bring it to manifest. How? By thinking wrong thoughts. Philippians 4 verse 8. The Bible says, whatsoever things are true. Do you have that scripture for us? Philippians 4, 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, he said, meditate on these things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I slept off one time and I had a dream. Bad dream. This one happened, that one happened, that one happened, that one happened, that one happened. And I woke up with fear. And in the middle of that fear, just before I start praying, I just heard a scripture came from within me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who he has redeemed. Past tense. Who he has. I told myself, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. No prayer again. Satan, if they burn you well, bring it to pass. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Before you sit down to listen to the word, I'm giving you fun facts. You must be spiritual about your walk with God. Are you hearing me? This your mind. You see this mind? Is God's creative tool. Everything you are seeing around you is from here. And the ones that are natural came from the mind of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Your mind is so powerful, such that because of the Holy Spirit that is in you, the anointing of the Spirit that is in you gives your mind supernatural abilities so that your thoughts carry energy and life to manifest that which is processed. That's why you must guide what enters here. That's why Satan wants you to hear about those who are talking about you and gossiping you. You know why? So that you can go and think all manner of nonsense. I release you to a season of peace. Am I talking to somebody this afternoon? I release you to a season of peace. I block every satanic orchestration around your mind. Every demonic agent sent to buffet you, sent to bring wrong and negative thoughts to your mind, to give you a future that God has not planned for you. I block them from entering your life. I stop them from having access to your mind. In the name of Jesus Christ. I breathe on your mind by the Spirit of God. From today, let every scripture that you have read before become a living reality in your mind. Become a living reality in your life. Everything that the Lord has spoken to you,
whether in a dream, whether in a vision, whether through his servants, whether through a believer. From today, I program your mind to stay and meditate on those things. I know I'm ministering to somebody. I program your mind to meditate on those things. I release divine programming over your mind. In the name of Jesus Christ, you shout a louder amen. Clap your hands and give Jesus all the praise. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Can we get to the word now? Please shake the hands of two or three people by your side before you sit down. Welcome them to Pneumatech. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. And glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Glory be to God in for his mercy, for his mercy, then. For his mercy, for his mercy. Let's sing it one more time. Say glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Say glory be to God in the highest. In the highest. For his mercy. I want you to learn how to program your life by programming your thoughts. The strongest warfare in the life of a believer happens here. If you win the war here, if you win the battle here, you have won the war. If you lose here, you have lost. Are you hearing me? Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh, it's not about what the devil is throwing at you, it's about what you are thinking. It's not about what people are saying about you. Can I bring you to a point where you truly believe me, that no matter what people say about you, it doesn't affect you? What can I do to get you to that place? Many of you are in love with what people say about you. You truly are in love. Just like we sing, I'm in love with Jesus. You are in love with what people say. That's why you care what they say about you. Hallelujah. I don't know how to do it. Would I maybe operate your head and open it and remove it? And am I talking to somebody? You are even angry now that I'm saying this one. Amen. It's not what people say about you that determines who you are or where you are going to. It's not even what the devil says. It's what God is saying and your response to what God says. What's your response to what God says? Faith. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing. God is positioning you for a lifting. I said, God is positioning you for a lifting. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see every one of us again. Welcome to Pneumatech. Hallelujah. And I know if I don't say this one, some people will keep me in their mind. Let me apologize for not being around last Sunday. Amen. Some of you held me in your heart till today. Amen. Say, Apostle will forgive you, but we didn't forget. Amen. Last Sunday was miracle service. I was supposed to be here. We finished the meeting in Abuja, but we had a 6-hour flight delay. Flight was delayed from 11 a.m. till almost 6. I think we left, we took off after 6. Amen. So we apologize for that. I really would have been in the service. At a point, I thought to myself whether it was the demons from Abuja that we had dealt with that went to, or maybe the devil knew what was going to happen, because I really wanted to kick the devil that Sunday. Amen. But were you blessed by the service, those of you that were around? Amen. Good luck to those of you who stayed at home. Say, if Apostle come, text me. Nice one. Amen. The Lord knows you. Say, if Apostle come, once that golden door open, Apostle come, just text me. Amen. But we bless the Lord for what he did. I want to thank God for the lives of our ministers and for Minister Chijoke for standing in for me. Amen. But we did not lose last Sunday. We need to have a repeat of that Sunday again. So I've decided that the last Sunday of this month will be Power Sunday. You don't sound excited. You sounded like you faked this one. Amen. That thing that God, we wanted to do that day, we didn't finish it. So we'll finish it at the last Sunday. Amen. So give all the demons of your father's house enough time to do press up and meet us on the 28th. Amen. So 28th of September will be Power Sunday. I think we had Power Sunday once this year. You remember? Was epic. Amen. Another one again. And then after Power Sunday, the very next Sunday, which is the first Sunday of October, is miracle service. So it's back to back. Amen. Great. What's wrong with your excitement today? Are you hungry? Amen. Somebody say yes, sir. If you are hungry, there are people selling something outside. Go and buy with your money. Amen. So the name of God be praised in Jesus' name. One or two announcements before we get to the word today. We want to begin a little project to get chairs for us here. For those of you who have been in Pneumatech for a while, especially even those who started coming this year, I'm talking to those of us on ground here now, not those online. We used to have these cushion chairs. How many of you remember? We used to have these cushion chairs with metal stands or metal legs. So we had an issue, which is still ongoing, concerning the purchase of the chairs. And we had to relinquish the chairs to the police. And there's an investigation going on. We didn't steal, okay? We didn't steal, no. But there was an issue with the person who sold the chair to us. So there's an investigation going on right now. And you know, during investigation, everything, they will carry everything as evidence, ba? Amen. So these chairs that you've been sitting on, we rent them every Sunday. And when we calculated how much we spend to rent these chairs every Sunday, especially during Utah Flame, only God knows, I think we spent in hundreds of thousands to get the chairs for Utah Flame. We just decided with the finance team that it will be best for us to have our own chairs. So what we are going to do for now is we are going to get plastic chairs like this and maybe a few cushion chairs for ministers and maybe VIPs who come. We don't want to buy anything really solid until we get into our own building by the grace of God. So we are going to start a project for those chairs. I'm told that we want to get about 500 chairs. And it's going to cost us around 3.7 million. Amen. So, calling on every one of us to willingly from our heart, join us to give so that we can get these chairs. We'll trust God that between now and November, December, we should have gotten the 500 complete, okay? We are talking stage with the company that it will be fabricated from so that we can get the chairs. And we want to see how we can get everything in bulk. Instead of buying and sending, we want to just get everything in bulk. So I'm calling on every one of us cheerfully and willingly, as God has blessed you, to give. You may want to give as an individual. You may want to give as a family. Maybe a family can decide we want to buy 2 chairs or 5 chairs or 10 chairs or an individual. Whatever amount you are willing to give for. That amount means that each chair is going to cost us around 7,500, each chair. So if you are giving, you should know how much you are giving for 1 chair. Amen? So let's trust God to have it done, and God will help us in Jesus' name. Are you excited about giving? You have to be. So please display the, you will use our usual tithes and offerings account. We'll use that account for transfer. Those who are going to transfer can use that account. Is there a way you can display it? No. Okay, is there? Huh? I need to know. I'm just... Okay, you are on your way. You are working on it? Okay. So whenever you see the account details, or you can simply walk up to our public relations desk there. That desk you see with white cloth outside, it's not for decoration. It's for public relations. If you have any inquiry, you go there. They will let you know how you can go about it, give you the account details. And if you are making a transfer, please identify that it's for chairs, okay? Put it at the narration, especially those of you who use bank apps to transfer, that it's for chairs. And we are truly working on how we can get multiple payment options for those who are sending their contributions from other countries like US and UK and the rest. So, but for us here, that's how it's going to be. Amen? And God will help us in Jesus' name. So that when we come, we don't get to rent chairs. Everything is now our property. Because these chairs, when we rent them, if they break, we will buy a new one and still rent it again the next week. Is that wise economically? No. So God has given us wisdom, and I think it's high time we just purchase our chairs. There are other projects we are doing that we don't want to bother you about, because we can take care of that by the grace of God. So we are bringing this one so that everybody can be part of it. Amen. And I challenge you to give. Amen. Challenge you to give. And God will be glorified in Jesus' name. May God bless you and increase you and cause you to abound as you do so. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we get to the word now? Fighting temptations. That's what I'm talking about today. Fighting temptations. Ay, ay, ay. Ay, 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 ay. That's the song of this season. Oh. You are king. You are king. Ay, ay, ay. Ay, 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 ay. You are king. You are king. Hallelujah. Fighting temptations. I'm supposed to have brought this teaching to us about a year or 2 years ago. But somehow the Lord will not allow. Or have we taught on this before? Huh? Okay. So God, in His own wisdom, decided that this will be the time. And I want us to really treasure the Word of God in this house. The Bible calls it the more sure word of prophecy. God can use his word to address many things happening at the same time. Or sometimes the word of God can come to warn us about what is ahead. Are you hearing me? So some of you may need this teaching because it may be what you are facing right now. And some of you may need it not for now, but for later. My desire is that God will open our eyes today and grant us the strength and grace to overcome. In Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 6 verse 13. Matthew chapter 6 verse 13. You can keep the presentations for now till I let you tell you to bring them up. Matthew chapter 6 verses 13. I want us to read. Are all the screens working? Okay, this screen is not working. Oh, sorry. Maybe I'll just read it myself. We are having some issues with... Please let me know what the issue is. So if we need to buy anything, I will say it here so that we'll buy it. Amen? Catch all these rich men and rich women. Don't buy. That person that said amen, you'll be the first giver. In Jesus' name. So you guys, let me know what's happening quickly so that if we need to buy something, I can catch them. Amen. You better like me. Matthew 6:13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Say amen. Amen. That was the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And he captured in that prayer the need for deliverance and protection from temptation. He says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That means that it is important that we pray and we are watchful every now and then against temptations that the evil one can send to us per time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. He says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is giving somebody a way of escape in the name of Jesus. Fighting temptations. We're going to answer a few questions in the course of this teaching. And I believe that these are frequently asked questions about the subject of temptations. And by these questions, we will be able to systematically go through this teaching, understand what temptations are, and the goal of the teaching, of course, see the ways of escape God has provided and see how we can access these ways so that we are not snared by the temptations that we may face in life per time. Temptations are not new. Jesus the Christ, our Savior and our Lord, was tempted. In fact, the Bible says that he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil. I think it's Luke that said he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. It was a test. And Satan waited for Jesus to have finished the 40-day fast when he was most vulnerable to tempting. That lets you know that temptations most times will come when you are vulnerable. We saw in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, three different temptations that Jesus went through. And we saw how he responded, how he overcame. And the Bible says that the devil left him after those temptations for a season. That means that temptations does not come always. However, there are things that we will need to be watchful about, which we are going to discuss in this teaching. These are the frequently asked questions around the subject of temptation. Number one, what are temptations? Number two, how do temptations arise? Number three, is it a common thing or is it common or is it a sin to be tempted? Number four, how do I avoid or escape temptation? Don't worry, I'll go over it again. I'm sorry, we're having some serious issues with our display. Number one, what are temptations? Number two, how do temptations arise? Number three, is it a common thing, or is it common, or is it a sin to be tempted? Number four, how do I avoid or escape temptations? Number five, is it possible to be an object of temptation myself? We'll try to answer all of these questions so we can understand the teaching today. Father, speak to us. Give us understanding and open our eyes. Give us a heart to accept what you are saying right now. And give us the empowerment to do according to what we hear. In Jesus' name. So what are temptations? I need two people to answer me. In fact, I didn't even write anything around that here. So, it's you that will answer me. And that's what you answer is going to be what you will write. Amen? Yes. You people have been hearing the word for a while, so you people are mature. What are temptations? Please find me two mics. One should be around here, the other one should be around here. Let's see who is bold enough to answer. As simple as you can, just give us your understanding about temptations. Yes, thank you, ma. That's Mrs. Victoria. Please, let's clap for her.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I feel temptations are like an invitation by the enemy to sin.
An invitation to sin. By the enemy. Thank you very much, ma. Temptation is an invitation or an inducement to sin. That's a good answer. Yes, any other person who is bold enough? Yes, sir. Help. Give okay. And then we'll come to Pastor Henry. I saw somebody there. There's a gentleman who... Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Please answer us. Yes. Amen. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Amen. What are temptations? You can even answer from experience. If you have been tempted and you fell, you tempted, you fell, tempted, you fell. Even if you fall today, answer from experience. Amen. We'll handle you after the service, but for now, answer us.
Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, sir.
In a simple term, according to my understanding, temptations are a test of faith of a believer.
Temptations are a test of faith of a believer. Thank you very much for that answer. Now, it's important that we also understand that there's a difference between trials and temptations. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I believe using his answer, and he gave a good answer, a test of faith should pertain to trials. All right? A temptation is a test, but something deeper than just a test of your faith. It's not a test of your faith to perfect your faith, but perhaps a test to make you fall or to make you deny your faith in Christ. But thank you for that answer. Yes, let's hear Pastor. Okay, before Pastor Henry, let's hear Minister Enoch. I saw a gentleman at the back. Yes, I saw you, sir. You will go to heaven in Jesus' name. So after Minister Enoch, the gentleman, no young lady is answering. Very good. Very good. Sometimes silence can be, you are guilty, but you know, when God was asking questions in the garden, the only person that didn't answer was the serpent. Because he knew he was guilty as charged. So I get you. That, this is your silence. I think I understand. Amen. Okay, now it was beginning to, so that, are you answering to exonerate the ladies or you are answering because you want to? Okay, let's get Minister Enoch. Let's get that gentleman. Is that person a lady? Is he a lady? Okay. And then finally we'll get to Pastor Henry. So we'll go like that. Yes, sir.
An enticing suggestions with the intent to lure someone to fall.
Sorry, come again, sir. Let them hear you.
An enticing suggestion with the intent to lure someone to fall.
An enticing suggestion with the intent to lure somebody to fall. It's an enticement, an inducement. All right? With the hope that you will swallow it and be trapped. Yes, sir. The one who will go to heaven. God bless you.
Temptation, I see, it's a sinful desire that emanates from a man's lust.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Let me help you construct what you said. Desire and lust is the same thing. Lust means desires. All right? Good. So your desires may be a channel of temptation. All right? But temptation goes beyond just your desires, because the desires are always there until an external factor is working. So I think it's a cooperation between your desires that are not controlled and an external factor. So it's you yielding to your desire. Amen? Well, that was a good answer. Yes, let's hear the lady that wants to exonerate all the young ladies.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Already, God's servant already said what I intended saying.
That's a political answer.
No, sir. My initial
answer
was, my definition to temptation is an enticement that lures one to sin. So.
Okay, you are standing with Minister Enoch.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Are you married?
No, sir.
Okay. Receive it in Jesus' name. That's a temptation to talk. Temptation to bless. Oh, who is the last person? Okay, let's hear from a pastor now. Yes, sir. Amen. All those people at the back there, they are just saying, thank God, now the last person. Thank God, now the last. I'm coming for you. Your own question will come.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So, it has been answered, but from my end, temptations are enticements, pressures, or desires to pull somebody away from the will of God into sin.
Enticements,
pressure, and desires.
Okay. So enticements and desires working together to lure you to sin. Thank you. Let's clap for all these people that have spoken. Hallelujah. So we understand that temptation, the goal of temptation is to lure you to sin. And I believe that we all know what sin is here. Let me use a very common definition that, you know, we used to use in Sunday school those days. That sin is anything you say, you think, or you do that is against the will of God for you. So, sometimes there is something that lures you into that sin. Sometimes you really didn't have the will to sin, but you gave your will to something that enticed you, and then you sinned. And that's what temptation really is. An inducement, an enticement, a seduction to sin. Anything that will induce you to sin. And you know, as born again Christians, we have been made righteous in Christ Jesus, isn't it? The penalty of sin has been paid. And what God wants to do with us now that we are in Christ Jesus through the renewing of our mind is to help us overcome the power of sin. Because somehow sin is still a nature trapped in us, even though we are born again. And I'll talk about all of those things later. But I believe we understand what temptations are. So temptations, okay, I'll talk about that later. Question two. I said, how do temptations arise? We'll answer that. Question three is it a common thing or is it a sin to be tempted? I'm asking a question. All right, sorry about that. I just got information that a device got burnt. That's why there's a problem with our presentations on the screen. And they need 40,000. So the person that will give us that 40,000 or the two people or the four people, how are we going to get you? Where's, okay, Bishop, and just stand there, let them see you. That man wearing suit. Uh-huh. So if you want to contribute for the 40,000 or you want to pay the 40,000 to get that device, meet Bishop. Some people are always uncomfortable when you talk about money. I cast that Judas spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. As I'm teaching temptation, remember 40,000. It needs to be settled before the end of this service. And Bishop, let me know. If by the time I finish this teaching, we've not gotten the 40,000, I will not be tempting you by raising the 40,000, Abby. Yeah. I'm doing that deliberately. Of course, that's something we can settle. But I'm doing it deliberately to teach you that we must love to be responsible for the things of the kingdom. Amen? Back to our teaching. So, question number three. Is it common or is it a sin to be tempted? It's common to be tempted. And it is not a sin when you are tempted. Inasmuch as temptation is meant to lure you into sin, temptation itself is not sin. And it is common for you to be tempted. Let me show you a few scriptures to buttress that point. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. So temptation is common to man. If you are a man, you will be tempted. Is that true? James chapter 1 verse 13. We're trying to answer the question, is it common or is it a sin to be tempted? While it is not a sin to be tempted, it is common to be tempted. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So temptation is not a sin, and it is common to be tempted. But let's see how we are tempted. Verse 14. It says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So, the potential for being tempted is that you have a desire in you. And sometimes when that desire becomes uncontrolled, it opens the door for you to be tempted. So what the devil will look for around your life is one desire or one passion that you are consumed with. If he can see the one thing in your life that you don't have control over, and then he can use that thing to tempt you. And the goal of temptation is to lure you into sin. So the devil always brings temptation around our lives, hoping that we will fall into sin. And of course, you know, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. The moment you commit sin, because you yielded to that temptation, he picks his lawyer clothes. You know, the accuser of the brethren is like a prosecution lawyer in the courtroom. In a courtroom, there is a defense counsel and there is a prosecution counsel. The way you are looking at me, am I speaking Arabic? People went to school now, so you know what I'm saying, right? So there's a defense counsel and a prosecution counsel in a law court. And God is the judge. Once the devil gets you to yield to your desires and commit that sin, he dresses up as a lawyer and stands as a prosecution counsel. He would want to use that to accuse you before God and to accuse you. And he does that by bringing guilt and condemnation. And it's unfortunate that many Christians, as they claim that they are matured, have not been able to handle issues concerning guilt and condemnation. Let's look at question 5. Is it possible to be an object of temptation myself? Is a yes or no answer. Those in favor say yay. Some of you said yay. You didn't even know what you were saying yay to. I said, is it possible to be an object of temptation myself? Those in favor say yay. Those in not in favor say nay. Thank God that we are not in a National Assembly. Is it possible to be an object of temptation myself? Galatians chapter 5 from verse 1. We'll read verse 1 and then verse 13 to 15. Galatians chapter 5. You see why we need to get this 40,000 naira something. Now I have to struggle opening my tablet to read. Amen. Maybe we even need to get two so that if one destroys, the other one can serve in a service. Amen. Have you gotten anybody that is buying it? If nobody's buying it, I'll just buy it too. Have you gotten somebody that buy it? You got 15. We need to buy 2. So I'll give you 5 minutes. If in 5 minutes nobody adds to that money, I'll take care of it. Because now I'm used to reading the screen, but now I'm going to spend extra time doing this. Amen. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 from verse 1. I want to answer that question. Is it possible to be an object of temptation? Because we said temptation is an inducement. It's an enticement. Please look up here. Except you want to add to the money. Look at me. Don't be tempted to be distracted. It's an inducement. It's an enticement. How do you kill rats in your house? You pursue the rat? No, the rat is more of an athlete than you are. Amen. I remember many years ago, one time we were terrorized in our room by a rat. And, you know, we kept looking for the rat and it was jumping up and down the mosquito net, this one. And then somewhere, somehow, I caught the rat with the mosquito net. And I didn't know that rat had teeth. The next thing I felt was a bite on my hand. I threw the rat, I didn't know where it went to. Amen. So how do you kill a rat? Temptation, isn't it? You use something that the rat has a desire for. That thing becomes a bait. So when we say temptation is an enticement, it means there is an object that is used like a magnet to find the desire of the person. Some people are tempted by money. If they see money, whether it's physical currency or they see bank alert, something begins to bite them until that money is visited and spent. Have you seen those kind of people? May you never see them. And I hope you are not one of them. Some people, their temptation is a young lady that has thin and straight legs.
fair in complexion. You know, the Bible says a broken heart and a contrite spirit I will not despise. This one's a fair and slim leg. Hallelujah. Some people, they are only anything that wears skirt. If you just, in fact, ladies now don't only wear skirt, they also wear trousers, isn't it? Are you hearing me? So people are tempted by all kinds of things and it corresponds with their desire. So there is an object, and that's why this question is it possible to be an object of temptation myself? Can I be an object of temptation? Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 and then verse 13 to 14. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Verse 13 to 14. Or verse 13 to 15. He said, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. I want you to pay attention to this reading now. Listen. Only do not use your liberty for an opportunity or as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. He says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So from this scripture, we see that in Christ Jesus, God has given us liberty. Liberty from sin. We are no longer trapped under the penalty of sin. Jesus paid the ultimate price for sin, which was death. He died for us. And so there is no reason for you as a child of God to die as a penance for sin. Jesus has given us liberty in Christ, in Him. We have liberty from sin. We have liberty from the law. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel, God had to use the law, the Ten Commandments, to regulate them. Why? Because they were about to enter the promised land. And in the promised land, there were nations that were unbelieving nations. They were hidden nations. They were against God. They were wayward in their life. They didn't even care about God. And God didn't want Israel to behave like them. So God gave them those laws through Moses, so that those laws can regulate their lifestyle, so that they don't become like those nations, sinful. And so that they don't offend God by constantly committing sin. However, the fact that God gave them laws didn't take away the power of sin in their life. The laws was just to satisfy their conscience. But then they found themselves breaking the law again and again. In fact, the person who went to receive the law the first time from the mountain, before he came down, he broke the law. When he saw them worshipping the golden calf. So, but in Christ Jesus, our covenant in Him is not the covenant of the blood of bulls and goats, that when you sin, you have to sacrifice a goat as a sin offering. And it has to be done every day or every week. No. Jesus paid the price once and for all when He hung on the cross. For the sin of all the world. Both the ones that have been committed yesterday and the ones that will be committed tomorrow. However, the fact that we have liberty in Christ Jesus and He has forgiven or He has made provision for the forgiveness of all our sins, both now and the sins in the future, does not mean that that liberty should be exercised without restraint. Because someone told me that untimely freedom is the drainage to destruction. You see, liberty can become destructive when it is not controlled. Liberty can become destructive when it is not regulated. That's the reason why you have speed bump on our express road. Because if you don't have those speed bumps, some people bought cars that have V6 cylinder. V8. And especially when you are driving a Benz like my brother, the thing will just be tempting you to fire it like that. So that you don't fire it and go and kill yourself. Yes? You don't fire it and kill yourself. Okay, they say the money is complete. Clap for yourself. At least even if you didn't contribute, clap for yourself. Amen. So when we don't regulate, and that's the reason why God gave us the Spirit. The Spirit of God in our heart is to regulate our liberty. So that in as much as we have liberty in Christ Jesus, we will not over-exercise it and then get to the extreme and commit sin. Now, when we read in Galatians chapter 5, he said in verse 14 that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So it is possible that we can become a snare for each other. So you have liberty in Christ Jesus. But when that liberty is not checked, when you are not walking according to the principles of the word of God, and you want to live your life free simply because you are free. I mean, it's not written in the word of God that this is a sin, that is a sin, I should do it. That thing you do may become or may make you an object of temptation to somebody. In Romans chapter 14, Paul was talking and he said that there is nothing wrong in eating meat and not eating meat. That being in Christ has nothing to do with what kind of food you eat. Whether you eat meat or you are a vegetarian. Christ is all in all. Paul said, but however, inasmuch as I am free to eat what I want in Christ Jesus, if eating meat will make my brother sin, he said, I will stop eating meat. Not because eating meat is a sin, but because eating meat makes me an object of temptation to him. So yes, it is not written that women should not wear trousers. It's not written like that, isn't it? You can wear trousers if you like, wear skirt. If you like, wear the trousers on your head. But you will need to ask yourself, in my dressing, in my lifestyle, through my speech, I may not be committing sin, but as I exercise my freedom in Christ Jesus, am I a snare to somebody? Because the Bible instructs us to love one another, and that in doing so, we have fulfilled the law. In fact, Jesus said, by this, all men shall know you are my disciple, where you have love for one another. And I told you two Sundays ago that the zenith of maturity as a believer is love. How you exercise love. So we don't practice our Christianity only to please God. We practice it to please God and also to ensure that those around us, believers around us. Do we understand what I'm saying? So is it possible for me to be an object of temptation? Yes, I didn't say an object of sin, an object of temptation. Because there may be nothing wrong in you wearing leggings. It's not written in the Bible. Thou shalt not wear leggings. Is it written there? No. But that leggings that you wore, you know that God gave you hips. And God gave you this one. And when you wear it like that and you come to church, one brother now, that verse that says you worship God with your lips and your heart is far, his own is his heart, his eyes, everything, you know, my head, my shoulder, my knees, my toes. And then you are just there lifting up your hands in worship. We lift our hands to the greater I am. But your body has become an I am to another person. So you have become an object of temptation. And Jesus, who is even worse than us, Jesus said, if you look lustfully at a woman, you have committed. So is it possible for me to become an object of temptation, not of sin? Forget about your conscience and answer me. Is it possible to be an object of temptation myself? And I just use that one for example. There are other ways, many ways. That's why I say stand fast in the liberty that you have in Christ Jesus. But don't use it as an occasion for the flesh. I want you to listen to this. We must be careful how we practice grace and exercise our liberty in Christ. Otherwise, we'll fall and cause others to fall as well. We must be careful. Now in Christ Jesus, there's no law. You are not bounded by the laws of the Old Testament again. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in your heart. So that through Him, you will know what is right and just and do it. But we must be careful how we practice this new freedom that we have. You will have to watch every aspect of your living. Because that's why you are called a Christian. The word Christian means little Christs. So when people see you, your life should be an epistle. Your life should be a display of what the Lord Jesus Christ, or what the life of God is in Christ Jesus. It must present holiness and righteousness, because that's what you have been saved into. God didn't save you to come and be an abero. He didn't save you to come and be an area boy, a tout, a reggae rag. Just do anyhow. Not before the God of order. Not before the God who created order. Just do anyhow. Na lie. What did Jesus tell Peter in John 21? He said, when you were younger, you were used to going anywhere you wish. He said, but as you mature, he said, somebody will take your hand and lead you where you don't want to go. That means that our being led by the Spirit towards the way of righteousness and holiness is a sign that we are maturing. And that's why you should be careful of Christians who use the revelation of grace to practice licentiousness or lasciviousness. You know what lasciviousness means? Anyhow living. Living without restraint. So I can go to, what's the name of this one here? You know where I'm talking about. Where they eat Ishewu. You went there yesterday, but why are you quiet? You were the one that said you missed me. I'm back now. Naf. Is it written in the Bible that as a Christian you must not go to? After all, Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. Alright, that person that said that thing in their heart, let me answer you. Jesus never went to the house of a sinner twice. And every sinner Jesus went to his house, they became converted. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Jesus went to the house of Zacchaeus. Now, then let's go there. I'm going to win them. Then when you get there, it's malt you are drinking. Say, no, I'm not drinking alcohol. Have you seen that scripture that says, abstain from all appearances? So you now that want to go and win them, if your disciple in church sees you enough, how would you convince them? In fact, if there's a criminal activity there, you know what the police will do? They'll pack all of you there. You are all suspects. So how will you convince that your younger brother in Christ that you are not doing anything there? You are drinking malt, Malta Guinness. Listen, how you practice your Christianity and you take advantage of grace is what will determine whether you make others fall or you yourself will fall. When Lot left Abraham, he went and pitched his tent near Sodom. When it was time to rescue Lot, he was in the middle of Sodom. May God deliver us from temptations. Amen. Your amen is not funny. Amen. Romans 6 verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Somebody say, cigar is not a sin. Go smoke. Drinking is not a sin. Go drink. No, it's simple now. Abi? These last days, you have to read the Bible and know the truth. And don't allow somebody lead you to hell. Because I assure you, and I don't mean it, God forbid, but if you allow somebody to lead you to hell because you feel they have rhema, I assure you that there's enough space, there's enough land in hell. In fact, construction work is going on. They are doing renovation, they are expanding it. Because the amount of evil in our world today, I'm telling you, I don't know if it's Julius Berger that is doing the construction there, but there's a lot of space there. May you not get there in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear this. What you do with your newfound liberty will determine whether you constantly live free from sin or whether you will return to bondage. What you do with your newfound liberty will determine whether you will constantly live free from sin or you will return back to bondage. As much as Christ wants us free and has set us free, and you see that in Romans 8 verse 1 to 2, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free. As much as Christ wants you free and has set you free from sin and death. Hear this. The devil wants you bound. It was with sin. It's with sin that the devil has brought under captivity the people of the world. Sin is his device. Sin is his weapon. That's why he used to hold them bound. You know, God is the only spirit that can reveal himself individually to every human being. Satan cannot do that. So what does he do? He uses sin to yoke people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Drunkard, 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 all of them are together. Womanizer, womanizer. So Satan wants you bound. Because he knows that you have freedom in Christ Jesus. Remember in Luke chapter 22 verse 31, Jesus told Simon Peter, he says, Satan has desired to have you, that he will sift you as a wheat. He wants to separate you from this fold and make you fall into sin and make sure that you are damned in it. He said, but I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. So Satan desires that we all are trapped in sin because that's what God delivered us from. So hear this. And he that has tasted freedom before and falls into bondage, it becomes difficult, in fact, nearly impossible to be free again. And this is the reason why many people are held under all kinds of addiction. Satan wants you bound. Jesus has set you free. So Satan, using temptation, is the hope that you will fall again. And this time around, he will secure you and make sure you are not free. Say after me, I choose to live in freedom. The freedom does not mean you are no longer bound by any law alone. The freedom means you have been free from the penalty of sin. That even when you commit sin, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us. You don't walk around guilty thinking that 3 days of fasting and prayer will appease God. No, you don't, there's nothing to do to appease God for sin when you commit sin. That's why it is freedom we enjoy. All you need to do is ask for forgiveness. But you see, as free as that is, that's the reason why you have to be careful. Because it's not just about you being forgiven of sin. It's about you ensuring that you are not trapped by the power of sin. You know, Paul said, well, what I want to do, I find myself not doing it. And what I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. That's the law of sin and death. What I don't want to do, I am doing. That's sin. That's the law of sin. I don't want to sin, but I find myself committing sin. What I want to do and I cannot do, that's death, the law of death. For instance, you want to pray, but the moment you lift up your voice to begin to pray, you yawn one heavy yawn. And the next time you wake up, it's already 3 a.m. Then you sleep again. Then when you, it's your alarm that now wake you up. 5:30. Bam, 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 bam. You say, guy. Do you know why you struggle like that? There's something called the law of death. You know, if this hand is paralyzed, the word paralyzed means death. Lysis, paralysis, lysis is a Greek word for death. It means that life is not flowing to the hand again. The nervous coordination from the brain, from the spinal cord, to this place has been distorted. So this hand is existing on its own. That's why you can't leave the hand. That's why it's paralyzed. That's why it's called the law of death. You want to pray, but it's difficult. You know why? There's a law of death working in you. But the Bible says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and the law of... When you know what God has delivered you from, you will guide your salvation as if it's gold. Because the devil don't mind getting you back there. And oh, trust me, that guy is a big deceiver. He would deceive you to think that you can be born again and speak in tongues and still continue in the sin. And you'll be dying gradually. Because as you exercise your body to sin, you are bringing out those desires again. You are exercising. It's just like if you keep praying over time, prayer will become natural to you. Even if you feel like sleeping, if you start praying, all of a sudden your body will reset itself. It's the same way if you start practicing sin again, because it's not a sin now, or God will forgive me. Very soon you will just wake up one day and discover that even when you don't want to do it, you're already doing it automatically. It's God speaking to you this evening. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to 31. Hebrews 10, 26, 31. I want to show you something that they don't really show us this verse, but this is not to make you afraid, but this is to bring a holy fear in us. Be conscious that the devil is really after us to ensure that we don't enjoy the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26. Can you help me, please? Hebrews 10, 26. He said, for if we sin willfully, underline the word willfully. So is it possible to fall into sin? In reality, is it possible to fall? Did you really fall? Was your will not involved when you committed sin? While it was yet temptation, you had the will to say no. But the moment you committed your will to do it, don't say you fell. You didn't really, did you fall? If you fall, it's by mistake. You gave your will to do it. He said, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. I know you don't understand. Let's read on. He said, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Go on. It says, or how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Because the Spirit of grace is God's ability in you to resist sin, to live above sin. But if willfully, knowing that this is wrong, you sell yourself to do it. That's the scripture. God is helping us today. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, let he that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he falls. Sources of temptation. How do temptations arise? How do temptations arise? Well, the number one source of temptation is the nature of the flesh and self that is in man. Now everybody listen to me and look up. You see, there are three parts of you. The spirit, the soul, and your body. Isn't it? When you became born again, your spirit was made alive in Christ Jesus. Your spirit became conscious of God, because God is dwelling in your spirit. Your spirit has become one with the Spirit of God. But nothing happened to your soul instantly. And nothing happened to your body. Your body has flesh. Right? Now, flesh symbolically is what we refer to as the nature of sin. When we say you are walking in the flesh, we are simply saying you are responding to the promptings of the nature of sin that is in your body. Because when Adam fell in the garden, when Adam sinned, he activated the law of sin in his body. Because he didn't eat the fruit in the spirit. He ate it with his mouth. Right? You know, Eve, her problem was deception. Eve was deceived. Adam, his own was rebellion. Because was Adam, God told, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that is in the garden. Eve wasn't there. Eve was simply deceived by the serpent. And the moment they ate that fruit, the nature of sin was activated in him. So from that time, this body likes sin. The desires of this body is such that if you go about fulfilling it, it will be difficult to avoid sin. For instance, your body likes to eat. Is that not true? Those of you at the back, is it true? Is it true? Who don't like food? Everybody like food. Right? I didn't say love food. Like food is different from love food. Alright? But I know that there's some people who love food. I didn't mention your name. Amen? Everybody likes food. Your body likes to eat. And when your body tastes a food that according to it is sweet, when the taste of that food appeals to the senses of your body that it is sweet, your body does not mind that you finish that plate, finish another plate, finish the pot there. At that point, it's no longer normal eating. That is now gluttony, which is a sin. So you see that if you go about fulfilling the desires of your body, it's difficult to avoid sin. And other things like that. Your body likes to drink to quench its thirst. Is it not water you drink to quench your thirst? Say, no, I'm thirsty. Let me take two bottles of Star. Just two Star. Or three. Is it three? Please, I've never been to a club before. Tell me. It's only what I watch. Amen. Okay, and those of you that you were there before, but God has saved you. Amen. You are not there. You are not there. God has saved you. Help me now. What kind of drink? NSC. Eh? Small stout. I think there are different types of small stout. Johnny Walker. Amen. Somebody says Smirnoff. You like Smirnoff. And he came from the worship team. I hope. It's just a joke. Come on. So, the nature of flesh, which is sin in this body, and then there is self. Now, self is in your soul that makes you conscious of you. Flesh is in your body that makes you conscious of the world. That's why the moment your eyes see a fine shoe, like the one that love is wearing, your body tells you you have to wear that shoe. Do whatever you can. Call your boyfriend this night and tell him you are not feeling well. Tell him that the drugs are expensive. It's 25,000. It's one heavy antibiotic. And then your boyfriend will now send you with money. Brothers, I hope you are getting wise. He will now send you with money to buy the food. 40,000, 50,000. He didn't know that he sent you money to buy shoe. Hallelujah. Oh, the brother. He wants sex. He now call you and say, I'm sick. I can't do anything literally. Now lie, he's not sick. It's your body is waiting for. The moment you enter the house, all the energy that he has gathered from the gari he ate last night. Hallelujah. So the nature of the flesh and self is the source, the primary source. But then there are channels of temptation. Let me give you those channels. Number one, uncontrolled or unbridled desires. Uncontrolled or unbridled desires. It's one of the channels of temptation. We said temptation is an enticement, isn't it? An object that will lure you to sin. So we are looking at the different channels by which temptations can come. Number one, uncontrolled or unbridled desires. Any desire in you may not be a sin as a desire, but if it is out of control, God gave you desires, but he gave you authority to rule over them. God didn't make you so that your emotions should rule over you. Most times when we are beclouded or led by our emotions, it's difficult not to commit sin. Uncontrolled or unbridled desires. James chapter 1 verse 14. The Bible says, any man that sin or is tempted and drawn away by the lust of his flesh. James chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. He says you, oh God. I'm sorry. Let me just find a way to. He said, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Some people have a desire to talk. They just like to talk. If they don't talk, it's like they don't have an identity. And that's how they'll talk uncontrollably and go and gossip, waiting to consign them. They didn't tell you to tell anybody. But because you have an insatiable appetite to talk, now your talk, God bless you, has caused problems within brethren. And you are using the mouth to go and eat in peace. May God deliver you. Oh yes, may God deliver you. Uncontrolled desires. So begin to look at your life. Anything that is a desire that you know once you have a you know that thing they say, I'm craving for something. You need deliverance. See, I'm craving for. It's the nature of the flesh, my sister or my brother. I'm craving for roasted fish. Some of you have eaten it in your mind already. I'm craving for what again? Listen, there's nothing wrong with shawarma. It's as if they use shawarma to baptize all the ladies of these days. Brothers, you are not saying anything. Okay, you like spending money for shawarma, huh? So sometimes a woman will keep all those cravings, and the moment she becomes pregnant, in the name of is the pregnancy, it's time to exercise my cravings. You know, when we get to heaven on the last day, some women, those cravings that you wake the man up around 1 a.m. and say, I want to eat bitter cola. You will explain to God whether it was truly the baby or it was you. Are you blessed? So number one, uncontrolled or unbridled desires. Number two, unconfessed sins, secret sins. Proverbs 28 verse 13, he that covers his sin will not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them will find mercy. You know why God says that we should confess our sins to him? Another word for confess is not really God saying, tell him that you did this and that. It means admit that you are wrong. The moment a sin is not confessed, the devil starts working on your mind and telling you, well, nobody knew about it. And then there's this false sense of peace that because nobody knew about it, you are not in trouble. It becomes easier to be tempted to sin again the next time. And it will remind you, after all, nobody knew. Then God, in order to help the two of you, after the third and fourth time, the person don't get belle, bam. No, it's help from God. Otherwise, that sin is gradually draining life from you. Sin is a killer. It presents pleasure in the instant, but you feel bad and worse about yourself after it. So sometimes one of the channels to temptations is unconfessed sins. When there are things you are struggling with and you are not able to go before God to confess it, or you are not able to go before a spiritual authority and seek counseling, that thing will become a stumbling block. Sin prospers in secrecy. And remember, the plan is to lure you into sin and destroy you there. Remember the devil's threefold mission: to steal, to kill. It will not be so for you. Number three, compromise. Compromise is another channel of temptation. Compromise. When you break rules that you have set, when you don't respect the boundaries that you set for yourself. Compromise. When you break principles that govern your life, you lure yourself into sin. Compromise. And you know, the devil, that's what you try to do. There's nothing wrong. One shot. Are you hearing me? I mean, one shot of whiskey. One shot. Then when you take one shot, add another one. In fact, the devil can even tell you, okay, this is your beautiful house. Put a wine bar and put all kinds of wine. You know, all kinds of people will come to your house. Amen. Two men of God went to visit a man. And when they entered the house of the man, men of God. I said men of God. And the man is supposed to be a leader in his church. The man brought wine to honor the men of God. So he brought a non-alcoholic wine. And then he brought an alcoholic wine that had 4%. And he told them, you know, you can mix it, you know. Somebody said, Tufiakwa. Say, no, it's red wine, just drink. It's not alcoholic, it's red wine. You know, you take it to digest. Compromise. You will need to be rigid. The devil just wants you to shift a little bit. All the devil did was to convince Eve. Look at what he said. Did God say that you should not touch of any of the trees in the garden? He knew what he was getting to. He just wanted to convince her that if you touch him, you know, go die. And the Bible says she looked at the fruit and saw that it was pleasant for food and that it was able to make one wise. Compromise. Be careful in seasons of your life when the devil is pushing you towards compromise. Some of you have friends who are outright sinners and you know, but because you love them, because they give you money or because there's a bit gist, or sometimes when you are playing gospel music, they don't mind. They even sing with you. Say, hey, see, there's nothing wrong with him. Nah, lie. There's something wrong with that person. Bible says if sinners entice you, consent. I'm not saying hate them, but know who you bring to your cycle. If the devil wants you to get there, he will not push you there, no. He will just tell you, take one step. Did you die? No. He can even leave you after 1 year. He will come, take another step. He's very patient. The compromise till he gets you there. When the devil wants to lure a pastor into immorality, he looks at all the ladies and he says, they are all your daughters. So when you want to counsel them, have privacy, you know, bring them to your house so that nobody will know. Oh God, you are on your way to hell. Then you transform them as if you are God from spiritual daughters to spiritual concubines. And then from spiritual concubines, they become spiritual baby factories. Then the devil will now tell you, no, you have money. You know, you have money. This one, send her to this place. Buy everything, keep her there, cover it. Compromise. Many great men have fallen because of compromise. Compromise. Once he's trying to get you to shift that ground, don't shift it. Compromise. I remember one time I traveled to a place. I was staying in a hotel and in the morning, okay, the hotel had been there a couple of times, so they know me. Of course, because once I go there, you know, somehow people just love their man of God. So people come visit and the whole hotel now knew that there's a pastor here. So I went somewhere for a retreat. When I finished the retreat, I came to rest one night and then the next day I'll take my flight back to Maiduguri. And in the morning, 4 a.m., I was praying. Put it dark, you know, no light, just praying. And then I had a knock on the door. Who is knocking at your door around 4 a.m.? When I went to the pigeonhole, I saw the receptionist and she was skimpily dressed. I said, there's trouble here. I tiptoed back to my bed and did as if I didn't hear. He said, sir, please, did you park any car outside or there? You saw when I was entering the house. You saw when they drive me to the hotel. The car that drove me there drove away. You saw it. You were the one that checked me in. Say, did you park any car? Then me, I'll now go to the door. I say, oh, sorry. Then I open the door. The only God knows what will happen. Compromise. The last energy I had in me, I gathered it and shouted no. After that no, I didn't go to the door. When you knock finish, you go. Think of what would have happened there. Compromise. That's why good people fall. It's just a little compromise. Now that sinful human being that you are entertaining as your, you call him your bestie. Your best friend is a sinner. Doesn't know Jesus and you are comfortable with it. The person that will be your chief bridesmaid is arranging for, what's that deceitful thing they do before the wedding? That night. Bachelor's, bridal shower. That's just another name for Sodom and Gomorrah sometimes. She's arranging bridal shower for you and she's bringing all kinds of alcohol. Look at the clothes people are sewing for the bridal shower, orchestrated by your bridesmaid. Compromise. Listen, may God give us the grace never to compromise our stand. Amen. Let the world know that we are loving, but we are righteous. Compromise. Time will fail me to talk about even bribes. It started with 1-0. Now, like you are lifting millions. And the devil deceive you to think that when you pay tithe from that money, it's no longer a cost, it's sanctified. Oh God, you and that money is cost. Yes, they will use it in church, but there's a cost on you. I told one of my friends one time who was posted to a place, and in the military, they say, when they post you there, now money place. I told him when I met him at the airport, I said, God said two things you must be careful with, because he will bless you. Number one, money. Number two, women. I said, they'll come for you, be careful. He said, Daddy, yes, sir. I said, be careful, they will come for you. Yes, sir. I don't want to have people around me that I can't tell the truth. Then he traveled and went there. 1 month later, somebody met him in the church. Says one Alaji. Alaji came to greet him. Met him in church. Oh. Alaji entered church, wait. After service, they called him. Alaji said, I heard that you are the new so-and-so in town. Oh. Just came to greet you and all of that. I'm so-and-so and dropped 40 million. Which kind of greeting be that? I'm not talking about 40 million now. I'm talking about 40 million about 3-4 years ago. If they greet you with 40 million, you will sit down with 80 million. By the time they bring 100, have you seen 100 million? 0000000. When you get to that point, Jesus will have to appear to you and show you the nails that they see, I died because of you. It's called compromise. My friend told him, Elijah, I don't want to see you. And they arranged all kinds of things for him. Thank God, God helped him to, you know, delivered him from all that. Number four, isolation. Channels of temptation. Isolation. Adamant isolation. You know, you always want to be alone because you don't trust people. Maybe there's some truth in you being alone because you don't trust people. But I hope you know if you are constantly alone, you are in trouble. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 to 10. Woe to that one who is alone. Potiphar's wife have been disturbing Joseph all through. But the Bible says a day came when all the men were out of the house. And Joseph went into the house to do his job. He was alone. Then the woman pounced on him. Even Jesus, when was he tempted? He was alone. Say, I always want to be alone. I don't like people. I like my space. You are creating space for the tempter to come. I always want to be alone. Now, masturbation has started. I always want to be alone. Now, pornography has started. I always want to be alone. Now, great temptations come in seasons of isolation. It's not good to be alone always. Only be alone when you are retreating. God is not a fool that he saved you and put you in the body of Christ. So he said, I don't have too many friends. And they are proud of that. I don't have too many friends. You are in trouble already, my dear. In fact, the devil pounce on you, nobody will hear your shout. Anytime you are isolated and heavy temptations are coming, carry yourself, pack from that your house, go to your friend's house. If your friend say, why are you coming to this lobby? Tell and say, forget, don't worry. We'll share the rice, but I'm in trouble. Are you hearing me? Isolation. Jesus was wise. The first time he was tempted by the devil, he was alone. The next time he went to the garden, he carried disciples. He said, watch here. He told the remaining 9, watch here and pray. He carried 3. Mona de here. Because that's how 3 years ago, I was here alone, hungry. Jesus was wise. But some of us, some things that the devil has lured you into again and again, he's still using that bait of isolation. Some of you, once you're isolated, your mind is messed up. Depression and all kinds of things. I hope you know isolation is the first step. It's from there he will now whisper to you, commit suicide. I know a prophet, great and mighty prophet, doing great things for the Lord, but he was always alone. And then the devil began to whisper all kinds of things to him. One day, this prophet was found in a shop. What did he do? He went to sell his television in the shop. And the money he got from selling his television, he bought rope to hang himself. If not that they caught the prophet with the rope, the prophet would have taken his life. Why? Because he was always alone and the devil was telling him, you are failing. You're not succeeding. Because he thought that success in ministry is gathering so many people or having cars. I pray that in your seasons of isolation, may you hear only the voice of God. Amen. It's an honest prayer. Number what now? Wrong company or wrong companionship? Wrong company or wrong companionship. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil communication corrupts good manners. I think I've spoken about it again and again. When you have the wrong people around your life, you are already on your way, quarter to go. James 4:4-5, it says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Proverbs 13:20, he that walks with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools. He didn't say he will become a fool. He's already a fool because he's a companion of fools. He will be destroyed. Wrong company. Some of you, how did you start watching pornography? It was the people around your space. How did you start drinking again? Say, no, Apostle, it's not. You see, this drinking thing, I'm from Kaduna. It's my family thing. It's ancestral. My father, my grandfather, but he was not there at first. But you started shaking hands with drunkards. You remember the last time you celebrated your birthday, they brought star and you didn't frown. Looking at it. How did you start going to club? During your wedding, the DJ play worldly music. You follow dance. Say it's just song, now it's just love song. That's how the spirit entered you. Now every Friday you are finding yourself in club. Then on Sunday you now come to church and receive communion. Just as I am. And some people just think that by all that thing, they think that they have washed the thing away. No. You know, these are not the kind of messages they preach today, because this is the last days. Wrong company. Wrong company. Who is your best friend as a guy? He says, this lady. All right. Or the lady say, no, me, I don't trust ladies. So all my friends are guys. All of them will sleep. You will be like that Samaritan woman. Jesus said, you have had 5 husbands and even this one. Don't worry. All of them is turn by turn. What happened to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob? We didn't even know about Dinah. She was just somewhere. Dinah, who sent you message? The Bible says she went to the land of Canaan to see the daughters and wahala came. Before you know, Dinah don't get Ibele, Hosanna. Somebody say, Dinah, who send you message? Wrong company. Wrong. As you laugh, I want you to take note of what I'm saying. Some of you need to go and start deleting some of them or push them to an outer cycle of friends. I'm not saying hate them, but I'm just saying you need to be careful about the people you work with. Some of you are angry that they are gossiping you. Why would they not? They are saying things about you, this and that. My question is, my sister, but those things they are saying, there is some truth in it. Why? Because those are the kind of people you are working with. A married woman and all the people you surround yourself with, you call friends, are all single ladies. You are about to destroy your home. You know, some of us are so attached to some relationship, you can't pull away. When God is saying Saul should die and David take over, no, you are just there. Some of us are trying to revive what God is saying, die. In the name of all kinds of affiliations. That's how some ladies were introduced to lesbianism. Oh, it's my friend. We're primary school. Where do you people have the same values now? Number what now? Maybe I'll close. We'll continue next week. Do you know that in fact, wrong companionship is the reason for poverty? Can I explain to you before we pray? I know you don't believe me. Proverbs 28 verse 19. Maybe we'll finish the channels of temptation and then we'll pray. We'll continue next week. Proverbs 28 verse 19. Wrong company is one of the reasons for poverty. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity. You know what frivolity is? Spending anyhow. Anything. Anything money can afford, you just do one. Mogo flex. Spoil myself. He who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. You still don't believe me. Wrong company is one of the reasons for poverty. Read Proverbs 29 verse 3. You see it there. Read Luke chapter 15 verse 13 to 15. The story of the prodigal son. He went, he carried his father's wealth and spent with yeah people. When the thing finished, he was alone. You know that song they used to sing? Where money day, friends go day. Where money no day. I know why you're not singing it. Some of you, that's where you are. You are where money no day now. They don't run. See, any wrong company around your life, just like they edit on computer, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I edit them from your life. Number what now? Spiritual lukewarmness. That's when your prayer life is dead or dying. Spiritual lukewarmness. When your prayer life is dead or dying. It's one of the channels to temptation. When your prayer life is dead or dying. Hey, you are about to follow. Luke 22 verse 40. And Matthew 26 41. I think Matthew 26 41 says, watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. We must pray to avoid falling into temptation. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that Satan should not take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Spiritual lukewarmness. Anytime your prayer life begins to die, be careful. Temptation is around the corner. The devil wants to cripple your prayer life first, so that the power to refuse will no longer be there, and then it will be easy to fall. Can I tell you something? There are 5 important prayers that every individual should pray every day. Let me list them for you. Number 1, prayer of gratitude. Any day you start without being grateful, you will either be discouraged that day or you'll be depressed. Yes. If you start, Bishop Oyedepo said the first thing he says when he wakes up is, Jesus, I thank you. The next thing he says is, Satan, I curse you. Start your day with a prayer of thanksgiving. Number 2, prayer for direction. That the Holy Spirit will lead you. Of course, he will not lead you into a bush bar, where they drink. Number 3, pray against temptation. Number 4, pray for opportunities, open doors. Number 5, pray against evil. Pray for protection. So among those 5, one of it is pray against temptation. Jesus taught them to pray. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Please rise on your feet. We are going to pray. We can continue next week. We are going to take one prayer before we close tonight. But can I tell you something? That thing that happened to me in that hotel, do you know that I just finished a 3 days retreat? Praying in the morning, praying in the night. I went somewhere to do the retreat. During the day, minimum of 6 hours of prayer. That's what the devil wanted to steal. You are going to pray and say, Lord, any trap that the enemy has set ahead of me that I am not aware of that will make me to fall, Lord, deliver me from it. Open your mouth and pray before we leave. Please lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Every trap, every inducement, every means devised by the enemy, whether now or in the future, the Bible says in Proverbs 22 verse 3, that a prudent man sees evil and hides from it, but the foolish passes on and are punished. Come on, pray. Sombra andre che li gobo si pratelama. Si crotolo pronde le gebre de che minuosi. And as the dead the world has sown my soul.
Jesus said, lead us not into temptation. Pray, Lord, deliver me. Deliver my soul. Help me not to be
pray finally that God will help you not to yield to compromise. Please listen. Let me tell us something. If God wants to bless you with something, and let's say that thing is, you are experiencing lack in that thing, and God is about to bless you with the abundance of that thing. Please listen, especially young people. Always expect, in case you don't know it now. Always expect a temptation of that thing to come your way. What I mean is, if you see the devil trying to tempt you with something, It may be that God is about to bless you with that thing. But the devil wants you to choose that thing above God, or he wants you to sell yourself for that thing. I heard the story of a pastor in Abuja, names withheld, but a popular pastor. Many years ago, somebody came and gave him a seed, 300 million naira. We're talking about maybe 15 years or more. 300 million naira. How much is that in dollars now? It's about $100,000+. It's money anywhere in the world. And as he was praying for the man and blessing the man, the Holy Spirit said, wait, ask him what he does. And he stopped. He said, sir, thank you for this, your gift. I'm going to pray for you. But please, can you tell me what you do? This, that, we are this. Just talking around the corner. The Holy Spirit spoke again and said, don't collect it. The man of God refused it. The guy tried to pressure the man of God, even threatened the man of God. He says, I wanted to take you somewhere before bringing it. And the man of God in question at that time did not have a house of his own. The man left with the money. Just a few weeks later, they had arrested that guy. Fraud or something like that. And now, they were going to everybody he had given money to, either a business or gift or anything in the last few months to collect. That man of God today is a great voice in the body of Christ. Think of the fact that his voice would have been silenced by 300 million. Listen, some of us, we are not bad people, though. It's just that there are some desires. And as you are now, if God does not help you, you are willing to compromise. The devil will take anything for your soul, anything for your calling, anything for your anointing. He can give you $10,000. Just sleep with me. And that's your music ministry you've traded there. And one day you see somebody up there and something he will tell you, I'm supposed to be doing what that person is doing. There are some voices of some preachers we used to hear those days challenging government, but no more. Maybe they have eaten from government. They've eaten stolen money. And they say, if you talk, you are going to pray and ask God to help you overcome compromise. Some of us, the compromise is friends around us. Some of you, as you are living here now, in fact, that friend is calling you now. Wait till you see they do for church. He's calling you now. Now, he sent you a text message. Compromise. The Bible says, let he that thinketh his stand, take heed. God is speaking to us today. Somebody's future is at stake. I remember a time somebody brought a card to me and said, pastor, take. Hours before the person came, God said, don't collect that car. You would think that because I didn't collect the car, after 2 months, God will say, my son, I've tested and tried you, and like Abraham, I know you have. Now, take this car. Now, lie. From that time to today, God has not even promised me car. But thank God I said no. There are things I will not want to explain to you because of camera. Maybe the person will even watch. And that's why I've said no many times to many things. You need grace to overcome compromise. The devil will wait for you as a young businessman when you are in a very tight corner. A pastor friend of mine told me, one of his spiritual sons came and met him and said, sir, just say the word. Just give us the go ahead. There's 1 year who want to do. Your share is 1 billion. I didn't say 1 million. I said 1 billion. Lord. 1 billion. Just say yes. And that time he needed money for rent. He needed money for this one. Ministry is not moving. 1 billion can move the ministry to a permanent site. It's just that that permanent site may be hell. Hell too is a permanent site now. 1 billion. I'm talking now because there's somebody here now. Now, you too, you are being tempted to Yahoo. That's why the Holy Spirit made me to speak this out. Don't you ever think in your mind that if you go and do it, you will repent. Maybe it's in that thing you will die. The other people doing it, they may not have any prophecy over their head. But Satan wants to arrest the destiny of generations. Some of you don't know why the devil is after you. You don't know what you carry. He told Jesus, he said, all these things, all the glory and the kingdoms of the world have been given to me. All you need to do is bow, fall down, worship me. Nobody will know. There was no social media to capture it. Nobody will know. Fall down. Is it not why you came? You came for this earth. I will give you. What is the devil telling you to fall down for? Some of us, our craze to get married. Fall down now. Any guy goes. Young lady, you better be careful. Anytime you are in a temptation not to divulge the person that you are in a relationship with, your spiritual parents, that person is a suspect. That person is a suspect. You want to lift your voice and pray and say, Lord, help me to overcome compromise. That's the last prayer tonight before we leave. Pray. Please lift your hands. Father, tonight I pray for your people. We've patiently heard your word. And you are teaching us about temptations. And you have shown us the channels of temptation so that we can avoid. You said that let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he falls. I pray for every hand lifted, that now and in the season ahead, may God keep you from falling. Any trap that the enemy has laid, any snare that the enemy has planted around you, tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, to cause you to deny the faith or to fall, in the name of Jesus, that snare is broken. Amen. I disband from your life the wrong company. I disband from your life anything and anyone that will lure you into the trap of sin. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that the fire of holiness and righteousness will burn in our hearts in this season. I pray that the passion for the return of the Lord will burn constantly in our hearts. The Bible says, he that had this hope keeps himself pure, purifies himself even as he is pure. I pray that the passion for the return of God will constantly keep you holy and keep you from the evil in this world all the days of your life. You will walk in victory over the snares of the enemy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Clap your hands and give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. Please remain standing. I want to give an opportunity for anybody here who wants Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Before we go, we've thought about temptation. We have prayed. but you know you don't have a relationship with God. And you want tonight, you want to surrender to Him. And you want to have a relationship with Him. You want Him to be your Lord and Savior. Or you want to rededicate your life. Wherever you are, say these words after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I repent of my sin. And I believe that you died to set me free. I receive your life into my heart. And I proclaim you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Please, if you made that prayer, can you wave your right hand? Let me see you. If you prayed that prayer earnestly from your heart, please wave your hand. I want to see you. I want to speak over you before we are done tonight. Wave your hand. Let me see. God bless you. I see one hand there. If you prayed that prayer with me sincerely from your heart, don't be ashamed. Pick your Bibles and your bag. Come and meet me at the front now. I want to pray for you. Let's give them a big God bless you as they come. Please keep clapping till they are all out.
What a mighty God we serve.
Keep clapping, they are coming. I'm waiting. Jesus has brought you freedom. Some of you don't know what freedom from sin is. That's the life He has given to you. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are coming to join them, please join them quickly. I'm going to pray for these ones. Please stretch your hands towards them. Do you know what freedom from sin is? Do you know at all? That He paid the price so that you can have victory over the thing that would have made you condemned. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That is what they have received today. Stretch your hands and pray for them. Please lift up your right hand as a sign of surrender to Jesus. Father, I declare that their sins are forgiven by the authority of your word. We declare that they are free from the power of sin. From today, they will walk in victory over sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave. I rebuke every form of addiction from their lives. Every uncontrolled desire is deadened right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. The work of witchcraft, satanic orchestrations around their lives is destroyed right now. In the name of Jesus, the passion and the love to serve you all the days of their lives is imparted in their spirit right now. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. God bless all of you in front. Please turn to your left and our counselors will attend to you shortly. Let's give them a big God bless you as they go.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.